Chapter 23. I don't go back to the dorms that night. Sleeping in the same room as the people who attacked me just to look brave would be stupid. Four sleeps on the floor and I sleep on his bed, on top of the quilt, breathing in the scent of his pillowcase. It smells like detergent and something heavy, sweet, and distinctly male. The rhythm of his breath slows, and I prop myself up to see if he is asleep. He lies on his stomach with one arm around his head. His eyes are closed, his lips parted. For the first time, he looks as young as he is, and I wonder who he really is. Who is he when he isn't Dauntless, isn't an instructor, isn't four, isn't anything in particular? Whoever he is, I like him. It's easier for me to admit that to myself now, in the dark, after all that just happened. He is not sweet or gentle or particularly kind, but he is smart and brave. And even though he saved me, he treated me like I was strong. That is all I need to know. I watch the muscles in his back expand and contract until I fall asleep. I wake to aches and pains. I cringe as I sit up, holding my ribs, and walk up to the small mirror on the opposite wall. I am almost too short to see myself in it, but when I stand on my tiptoes, I can see my face. As expected, there is a dark blue bruise on my cheek. I hate the idea of slumping into the dining hall like this, but Four's instructions have stayed with me. I have to mend my friendships. I need the protection of seeming weak. I tie my hair in a knot at the back of my head. The door opens, and Four walks in, a towel in hand and his hair glistening with shower water. I feel a thrill in my stomach when I see the line of skin that shows above his belt as he lifts his hand to dry his hair and force my eyes up to his face. "Hi," I say. My voice sounds tight. I wish it didn't. He touches my bruised cheek with just his fingertips. "Not bad," he says. "How's your head?"
"Fine," I say.
I'm lying. My head is throbbing. I brush my fingers over the bump, and pain prickles over my scalp. It could be worse. I could be floating in the river. Every muscle in my body tightens as his hand drops to my side, where I got kicked. He does it casually, but I can't move.
"And your side?"
he asks, his voice low.
"Only hurts when I breathe."
He smiles.
"Not much you can do about that.
Peter would probably throw a party if I stopped breathing."
"Well," he says,
"I would only go if there was cake." I laugh, and then wince, covering his hand to steady my rib cage. He slides his hand back slowly, his fingertips grazing my side. When his fingers lift, I feel an ache in my chest. Once this moment ends, I have to remember what happened last night, and I want to stay here with him.
He nods a little and leads the way out. "I'll go in first," he says when we stand outside the dining hall.
"See you soon, Triss." He walks through the doors and I am alone. Yesterday he told me he thought I would have to pretend to be weak, but he was wrong. I am weak already. I brace myself against the wall and press my forehead to my hands. It's difficult to take deep breaths, so I take short, shallow ones. I can't let this happen. They attacked me to make me feel weak. I can pretend they succeeded to protect myself, but I can't let it become true. I pull away from the wall and walk into the dining hall without another thought. A few steps in, I remember I'm supposed to look like I'm cowering. So I slow my pace and hug the wall, keeping my head down. Uriah, at the table next to Will and Christina's, lifts his hand to wave at me, and then puts it down. I sit next to Will. Al isn't there. He isn't anywhere. Uriah slides into the seat next to me, leaving his half-eaten muffin and half-finished glass of water on the other table. For a second, all three of them just stare at me.
"What happened?"
Will asks, lowering his voice. I look over his shoulder at the table behind ours. Peter sits there, eating a piece of toast and whispering something to Molly. My hand clenches around the edge of the table. I want him to hurt. But now isn't the time. Drew is missing, which means he's still in the infirmary. Vicious pleasure courses through me at the thought. Peter, Drew, I say quietly. I hold my side as I reach across the table for a piece of toast. It hurts to stretch out my hand, so I let myself wince and hunch over. And I swallow. And Al. Oh, God, says Christina, her eyes wide. Are you all right? Uriah asks. Peter's eyes find mine across the dining hall, and I have to force myself to look away. It brings a bitter taste to my mouth to show him that he scares me, but I have to. Four was right. I have to do everything I can to make sure I don't get attacked again. Not really, I say. My eyes burn, and it's not artifice, unlike the wincing. I shrug. I believe Tori's warning now. Peter, Drew, and Al were ready to throw me into the chasm out of jealousy. What is so unbelievable about the dauntless leaders committing murder? I feel uncomfortable, like I'm wearing someone else's skin. If I'm not careful, I could die. I can't even trust the leaders of my faction, my new family. But you're just... Uriah purses his lips. It isn't fair. 3 against 1? Yeah. And Peter is all about what's fair. That's why he grabbed Edward in his sleep and stabbed him in the eye. Christina snorts and shakes her head. Al, though? Are you sure, Triss? I stare at my plate. I'm the next Edward. But unlike him, I'm not going to leave. Yeah, I say. I'm sure. It has to be desperation, says Will. He's been acting, I don't know, like a different person. Ever since stage 2 started. Then Drew shuffles into the dining hall. I drop my toast, and my mouth drifts open. Calling him bruised would be an understatement. His face is swollen and purple. He has a split lip and a cut running through his eyebrow. He keeps his eyes down on the way to his table, not even lifting them to look at me. I glance across the room at 4. He wears the satisfied smile I wish I had on. Did you do that? Hisses Will. I shake my head. No. Someone, I never saw who, found me right before. I gulp. Saying it out loud makes it worse, makes it real. I got tossed into the chasm. They were going to kill you? Says Christina in a low voice. Maybe. They might have been planning on dangling me over it just to scare me. I lift a shoulder. It worked. Christina gives me a sad look. Will just glares at the table. We have to do something about this, Uriah says in a low voice. What? Like beat them up? Christina grins. Looks like that's been taken care of already. No, that's pain they can get over, replies Uriah. We have to edge them out of the rankings. That will damage their futures. Permanently. 4 gets up and stands between the tables. Conversation abruptly ceases. Transfers. We're doing something different today, he says. Follow me. We stand and Uriah's forehead wrinkles. Be careful, he tells me. Don't worry, says Will. We'll protect her.